Free food. There's a surefire way to attract a crowd if you see a sign for free food. Nowadays, it may well be an introductory offer via email for Just Eat. Have you heard of that or something like that? Getting some free food delivered to your house. It might be a free McFlurry or something and McDonald's and Macrofelt. Or it might be free samples of food. Did you visit the Christmas markets? And I know our boys are very keen to find the free samples and get as many of them as they can and go around the loop and keep having more and more. Free food. Now, of course, those are all marketing ploys, aren't they? They want to draw in potential customers. And the free bit doesn't really last that long, does it? You know, the first offer is soon gone. One McFlurry, it's never enough, is it? One tiny bit of bacon and a cocktail stick at a market. That's not going to satisfy, is it? We want more and more and more. In Isaiah 55, there's an amazing offer of free food. But this offer, this invitation, isn't just a marketing ploy. And it's not just for actual food. This invitation, this offer, is for total, complete fulfillment and satisfaction. This offer is for forgiveness, peace, freedom, hope, joy. Ultimately, here's an invitation in Isaiah 55 to come to Jesus, to come to the one who the real Christmas is really all about. I wonder, do you remember Isaiah 40, verse 1? The promise of comfort. You comfort. There was hope for the exiles in Babylon. Beyond judgment, beyond being far away from home, there was going to be a return to the promised land. There was a promise of comfort. And I wonder, do you remember last week we looked at Isaiah 53, the servant of the Lord with no beauty or majesty, who was despised and rejected, but Isaiah was looking forwards into the future. And he had this amazing message for the exiles about what this servant was actually going to do. And that message was to comfort and encourage them. It was to empower them to live by faith, to trust in God again, to come back to the Lord, to respond to what they were hearing. And as we look at Isaiah 55 today, you and I, we can look back on what Jesus, the servant of the Lord, the Messiah, has already done. We can look back. We know that he died on the cross. We know for sure that on the third day he rose from the dead. We know with certainty that he's alive. We know that he's coming back again. We know all of this. But the big question, on the 29th of December 2024, entering into another new year, Wednesday, New Year's Day 2025, the big question, the question that's more important than any other, is how have you and I responded to Jesus? How have you responded to Jesus? There's the question to keep in your minds. Let's think about two things in Isaiah 55. Firstly, satisfaction, and then action. But let's start with satisfaction. I'm quite sure that all of us can remember a much more significant invitation we've received other than an email or a sign directing us towards some free food. Think about invitations you get in life. You might think of an invitation to a birthday party, a big birthday party, a significant day. You might think about a wedding invitation, or maybe you've been really blessed, really privileged to be invited to go and meet someone very well known, very famous. Maybe you've been invited to go to Buckingham Palace to receive some sort of award or honor. Maybe you've been invited to a VIP experience at a sporting event. That would be my sort of dream thing to be invited to. I want you to look at the first couple of verses in Isaiah 55, because here is an invitation like no other, beyond compare. Here's an invitation to total satisfaction. Look at those couple of verses, Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. I want you to notice two things in those couple of verses. First thing is the need. Do you see the need? You people who are thirsty, people who have no money, that suggests people who need help. Now, we've got to remember who this was originally addressed to, the future exiles in Babylon. They were suffering, weren't they, for the consequences of their sin. They were judged by God. They were far away from home. They had turned to idolatry. They worshipped idols. In fact, in Isaiah 44, we're told that their hearts were deluded. They were bowing down to blocks of wood. And, chapter 44, verse 20, they were feeding on ashes. Now, there's a powerful description of where the exiles find themselves. But their need, ultimately, was spiritual. You know, the problem was on the inside. The problem for these exiles was sinful rebellion. And they were living in spiritual poverty. They were spiritually hungry, spiritually thirsty. And the truth is that ordinary people, those exiles, they were ordinary people like you and I, believe it or not. Ordinary people like these exiles, like you and I, with this spiritual need that we have, this sin in our hearts, we can't address that, can we? We can't do anything about it by ourselves. We can't fix ourselves. We can't clean ourselves up. And so, here is this invitation to come. And here's my paraphrase. To come for free spiritual food that really does satisfy. That's really what we're reading about here. This spiritual need, it's the same today, isn't it? Because in the world, 2024, in our culture, in our society, in this community, people are looking for something that will satisfy. Isn't that true? Desperately looking for satisfaction. People are crying out for fulfillment, longing for contentment, looking for light and hope and joy. Isn't that true? Look at the world. We live in a broken down world. It's marred by sin. It's full of spiritually confused, spiritually lost people. And here is a staggering invitation to exiles in the 6th century BC, but also to people today. People in spiritual need. So the need is here. The spiritual need is here. But I want you to notice, secondly, really verses 3 to 5 and the end of verse 7, how this need is addressed by the king. Look at verse 3 with me. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. Now, when we read this verse, when we read about an everlasting covenant, when you read there about life and about faithful love, when we see the name of David, do you remember God's chosen king? We need to remember the big story. We need to remember God's plan to redeem a people for himself. And God's promise to King David, or to David, way back in 2 Samuel 7:16, this is what God promised to David. He said, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Now, it's quite clear, isn't it, that that promise looks way beyond King David all those years ago. In this verse, Isaiah is once again referring to Emmanuel. He's referring to Isaiah's great light. He's referring to David's true son, the Messiah, King Jesus. That's who this is about. This is about the Savior King who was born to die, who came to rescue. This is about the bread of life. Isn't that how Jesus described himself? This is about the living water that Jesus came to offer people. This is about the King who came to address the desperate spiritual need of sinful people like you and I. You know, the truth is, as we thought about with the kids, and we know all of this, you know, sin separates us from God, doesn't it? Sin means that we are far away from God. You know, sin means that we are wandering around in the darkness. We're totally helpless. That's what sin does. It messes everything up. It infects all aspects of our lives. And our desperate need of rescue can only be addressed by this king. He's the only one qualified. He was the only one who could offer the perfect sacrifice for sin at the cross. And we thought about this last week, didn't we, in Isaiah 53. You know, Jesus was innocent. He had done no violence. There was no deceit in his mouth. He was the spotless, perfect, flawless, sinless Lamb of God. And he came to die on a cross to take away the sins of the world. You know, this offer of free food. Here is an offer of real, true satisfaction, fulfillment, contentment. Here's an offer of forgiveness. And it's free in the sense that it's only by grace. You and I, we can't earn it. We can't work towards it. We can try to be really religious. You know, we can do lots of good things, good works and all of that. But we're in such a bad place because of our sin. We can't, none of that's going to work. In our need, in our desperate need, we need this king. We need Jesus. You look at the end of verse 7. You know, here is a hint as to what this servant, what Jesus was going to do and what he has done. End of verse 7. He will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. You know, this is not about what you and I can or can't do. This is all about what he has already done. This is what Jesus offers us. And when we come to Jesus, this mercy, this pardon, this forgiveness, that's what we receive. I wonder today, as you sit in this church building, I wonder, are you hungry and thirsty? I would say physically, none of us probably are after this week. But I wonder spiritually, in your heart, are you hungry? Are you thirsty? I wonder, are you aware of your spiritual need? Are you really aware of the sin that separates you from God? Your sinful brokenness. I wonder, are you dissatisfied with life, with your circumstances? Are you discontent? Are you searching for something that will change things? You know, maybe you've tried the world and all it has to offer, and it's always come up short. You always find yourself wanting more, never satisfies. Or maybe because of how life has worked out for you, maybe because of your circumstances, you've drifted away from Jesus. You're struggling in your spiritual life. Well, I think here in Isaiah, there's an invitation for us to come to Jesus. There's an invitation to come to the waters, to eat what is good. You see that in the text, don't you? To listen so that we can live. There's an invitation to know and experience faithful love, to experience rest for our souls. There's an invitation to satisfaction. And it's only available in him. I wonder if you were walking down Broad Street in Macrofelt, maybe you were doing that as you tried to do the Christmas shopping recently. I wonder if you were driving through Desert Martin, and can you imagine there was a big flashing neon sign, come this way, free money, free food. What would we do? There might be the odd accident maybe on the way through Desert Martin. We would all do something, wouldn't we? How many of us would just keep on driving? We're going home, we'll just ignore that free money, that free food. What about a flashing sign offering total satisfaction? What about a flashing sign offering you and I forgiveness of all of our sins? All of our guilt, all of our shame. What about a sign offering us hope and joy and peace? Well, I think that's exactly what we have here in Isaiah 55. Come to the waters. Come by wine and milk without cost. Come to me. Listen that you might live. We read of mercy. We read of a free pardon. It's an invitation to come to Jesus. There's lots of other places in the Bible, in the New Testament, where Jesus invites people to come to himself. You're very well known in Matthew 11, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. In John 6:35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I want to take you back to that big question. It's the 29th of December, 2024. Wednesday is the 1st of January, isn't that right? I think I'm right. 2025. I wonder, how have you responded to Jesus? This invitation. Because when we become aware of our need, when we see, if you like, the flashing sign, the invitation of the gospel, the promise of grace and mercy and help, when we see that, there's a call to do something. We've got to do something. There's a call, I think, to action. That's the second thing I want us to think about just for a few moments. And we see that call to action very clearly in verses 6 and 7. Let's look at those couple of verses again. Verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. A right relationship with God, being brought back to him, experiencing all that comes with salvation, abundant life, forgiveness, the peace and the joy we've been talking about already today, contentment, strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow, all of that, it doesn't just happen to us as if by accident. It's not like osmosis. Anybody remember osmosis? It's one of the only things I remember from doing biology in school. Osmosis, I had to look it up again, actually, the definition. Would you hear this? Maybe it'll jog some memories. The process by which water molecules move through a semi-permeable membrane. I remember the semi-permeable membrane bit, but not the rest. Salvation, being right with God, it is not like osmosis. It doesn't just happen. You just sit in church services. We can't just surround ourselves with religious things. We can't just even do good religious things, good works and all that sort of stuff, and hope that someday, somehow, as if by osmosis, we'll be brought back to God. Somehow it'll just happen and we'll wake up and we'll be okay. It doesn't work like that. Because when we become aware of our sin in our hearts, when we become aware of the Messiah of Jesus who came to rescue us, we've got to do something. We've got to respond. We've got to take some sort of action. This servant of the Lord we read about in Isaiah is Emmanuel, is God with us, is Jesus. And he came to die on a cross because God loves you and I so, so much. He was, as Isaiah 53 tells us, he bore our suffering. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He poured his life on to death. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, Isaiah tells us. He rose on the third day. He's alive. He's coming back again. And if you and I, if we want to experience that peace that is punishment brings. If we want to have the healing made possible by his wounds, if we want, as verse 7 talks about, to know his mercy and this pardon and this forgiveness, then we have to take action. We have to do something. It's not going to just happen. And it's really clear in those couple of verses, isn't it? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. There's a sense of urgency here, isn't there? It's not just leave it and you wait till you're a bit older and maybe when things happen and then maybe you consider these things. There's a real urgency about this. And we're often reminded, and constantly reminded, that our lives in this world are really fragile. We think we're here forever, but we're reminded again and again that we're not. You know, today, we often talk about the age of grace. We talk about the age of opportunity, where there is time, opportunity to respond to Jesus, to the gospel. And that's what that call in Isaiah is all about, really. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. If you know about your sin and you know about the Savior, then you've got to do something about it. God has loved us so, so much. Love came down at Christmas as sometimes we sing. But we've got to respond to what he has done for us. And the sense of verse 7 there is, sinful people need to act, need to turn from sin, need to repent, need to come to the waters, need to come to Jesus. And I wonder if you've done that in your life. I wonder if you come and experience this salvation for yourself. I wonder, do you know in your heart the forgiveness that Jesus makes possible? Do you know that whatever happens in 2025, that one day you're going home to be with Jesus forever? Verses 10 to 11, as we draw to a close, there's a beautiful picture. And we sang about rain and snow earlier on in our service. It's a beautiful picture of snow and rain falling from heaven. And it comes and it waters the earth. It serves its purpose. There's a harvest. There's fruit. It's productive. And there's a lovely comparison with the Word of God, with his promises, because they come to us. And we read here that his word, it never returns to him empty. It always achieves his purpose. And maybe for you right now, God is using his word in Isaiah 55 to speak to you in your heart and your life. Maybe over the past few weeks, you've been thinking about the real Christmas, who Jesus is and why he came. And maybe God has a purpose for his word right now in you, in your life. Maybe it's to respond to Jesus. Maybe it's to receive that gift of salvation for the first time. Or maybe for you, it's to come back to Jesus. It's to remember that he is all you need, that he has got all the grace that you need to face all the challenges, all the hard things. The big question for you and I at the end of an old year, heading into a new year, the big question flowing out, I think, from this invitation is, how have you and I responded to Jesus? How are you and I going to respond to Jesus as we enter into 2025? Shall we take a wee moment just to pray? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you did, in history, send your son Jesus, that he came to heal and to love and forgive. Father, thank you that Jesus is alive, that he's coming again. And Father, as we bow in your presence, amidst the turmoil of this world, in the middle of all the heartache and pain and all the things we struggle with, we choose to look to Jesus. And we choose to celebrate your love, to celebrate the gospel. And we're so thankful that whatever tomorrow brings, that we can face it, all because Jesus lives. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. I'm going to close today by saying,